News Talk, 770 AM, 92.5 FM, WVNN, Phil Williams, Right Side Radio. Solid and conservative and just plain right, by golly. Hey, listen, it is Friday, and we are indeed headed into the holiday weekend, and I hope you guys do have an amazing time. And we got, by the way, we got pop-up showers here and there, so keep your eye on the weather. Heck of a thing if you're planning your picnic or your time outside right at the time that the pop-up showers are coming, so just keep an eye out on it. I got to tell you, too, big doings are happening, a major announcement coming next week for Right Side Radio. In the meantime, I can make this announcement, though. Right Side is hiring. So if you're looking for a gig that gives you flexibility of hours, the opportunity to work for a team like the folks here at Right Side, and to go out there and meet folks, be able to look them in the eye, shake their hand, feel confident about what you're working on, then we are hiring a sales team right now. And our website, rightsideradio.org, has got that info branded right across the top of it. So yeah, we would love to talk to you. If you're an individual who, like I said, wants to make a good living wage at the same time has flexibility in your hours and the ability to get out and about and see people and defend this nation like we do here at Right Side, then come on and join us. We would love to talk to you. Rightsideradio.org is the website. All the information you need is on there. Please check it out. Other things that are happening, though, are on that website. I will tell you right now, if you're one of those people that gets outside of the overly broad range of our AM-FM capabilities at WVNN, which is going to be even harder in the near future, then just let me tell you, there ain't nothing that stops you from listening to us online. That's it. All you got to do in the big wide world is go to the World Wide Web, go to rightsideradio.org, and click on our Listen Live option. People stream the show all day. I like to say, no matter where you is, there we is. All you got to do is have internet, download it on your phone, whatever the case may be. So yeah, check it out, rightsideradio.org. I also could not help but notice, I was wrong on the podcast numbers. It's higher. We're just about to hit 60,000 downloads right now with the podcast.
Nice.
I know. What's up, Copper? I mean, my gosh, we may have to do t-shirts again. I don't know what's going on. Just going to keep giving away t-shirts as we just keep hitting new milestones. Didn't we just give away 50,000 t-shirts recently?
Something like that.
Like 2 weeks ago or something? I forget when it was, but
I think it's when we hit 50,000.
It was 50. Yeah, it was 50. Yeah, I think it was. Anyway, more coming. More coming. We got a box of new t-shirts in, so we just may have to do those pretty soon. Anyway, a lot of stuff on the website, rightsideradio.org. All right, let me tell you about some breaking news. One of these, I didn't see it coming, actually. The other one, I might as well say I saw it coming. So let me do the national story first. Is it breaking news, or is it just like they said the inside thing as an outside thing, you know? But right now, I can tell you that social media went nuts when this morning, one of President Biden's economic advisors, in an interview, said that basically the high gas prices we're paying right now are necessary in order to support the future of a liberal world order. That's what he said. That's a quote. Listen, you know what? It's not like my conspiracy theory side doesn't kick in once in a while and I see this kind of stuff. You know, I wonder what in the world's going on with food shortages. I wonder what's going on here in the United States of America with a supply chain crisis. And I'm thinking, we're the United States of America. How can we not have cars on the car lots to buy? What in the world? But then when you hear them say it out loud, it's infuriating. So Fox News reporting that White House economic advisor Brian Deese suggested in a CNN interview just yesterday afternoon that the pain we're feeling at the pump right now was the price that Americans had to pay for, quote, the future of the liberal world order. That's what he said. Those are his words. I didn't make that up. I didn't interpret it differently. That's what the man who advises the President of the United States on economic policy said. I'm just telling you, folks, when you hear that kind of thing, it's infuriating. Number one, it means they have an agenda. It doesn't matter what we have to experience. It's their agenda. Okay. And then the other part is this. We're not there yet. There ain't no way that your green energy policies are going to work in the current climate. There is nowhere in the world right now that you can say they're ready to go to all green energy vehicles or sustainable energy solutions for our homes and our businesses. We're not there, and we're not going to be there. If they turned every dime we had available into developing green energy infrastructure, not only would it not be fully capable under the current technology, but we also wouldn't have it in place for a decade or more. There is nothing about this that makes good sense. Except to them, apparently, it's okay. Because you and I just get to suck it up while they move towards their, quote, future of the liberal world order. Well, there's a breaking story for you. Yeah, his inside words became outside words. And somebody needs to, basically find a new job. Here's the other one. Let me jump back into state stuff. All right, Alabama. We've talked a lot on this show about these election challenges, one of which is Senate District 27, which has a disputed single vote. The entire thing, a three-county race, it's Lee, Russell, and Tallapoosa counties, State Senate District 27, incumbent Republican Tom Watley, lost by one vote. It's gone back and forth. Suddenly, the one vote may have been found, and they decided at the Republican Executive Committee to count the one vote, and that became a thing. And then all of a sudden, the means by which the lady said that she had registered turned out to not quite be so accurate, or at least in the eyes of some. And I'm not making an opinion either way. I'm just telling you it became a debate. But all said and done, there was going to be another hearing this morning to reconsider whether or not she should have her vote counted, which would also undo the tie vote that was in place and would have resulted in a coin toss and put it back into Jay Hovey, the winner of the race, by one vote. Well, this morning, out of the blue, breaking news here on the story, I can tell you, I got an early report. I sent it off to Jeff Poor. Jeff Poor wrote it up and put it on 1819 News. But here it is. I'm looking at it right now. Senator Tom Watley threw in the towel, basically. He conceded. He decided rather than go to the hearing, knowing full well that what was likely to happen was they were going to change their opinion and not count that single vote, he decided to go ahead and bow out and fall on his sword. And, you know, I guess I guess that's honorable. It's honorable that he would choose to do that, not make the huge scene. He says he wanted to do it to let the district move forward and get ready for the general election because there is a Democrat in that race. But he went on to say he's going to look forward to spending time with his wife and daughter and focus on his law practice and other businesses. So there you go. Breaking news. That election is over. The Alabama Republican Party has now certified Jay Hovey as the nominee, and that contest is over. Still one more to go with Kimberly Butler in House District 2. All right, folks, Phil Williams, Right Side Radio. We got plenty more. Y'all stay tuned. Be right back. News Talk 770 AM 92.5 FM WVNN. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio. Solid conservative and just plain right. Just got a text from David in Huntsville. No, David, I'm not going to tell you the special announcement early. You just got to wait, bro. The Right Side does have some news coming next week. We'll talk about that when the times come, like maybe Tuesday. Anyway, the bottom line. And I also got, by the way, I got a text from. He goes by Vision Leader on, we follow each other on Twitter. He just texted, I said that about the pop-up showers a while ago. He said, yeah, pop-up shower came while I was weed eating my lawn. That's another thing that doesn't work well with pop-up showers. And I said, yeah, but it lets you go inside and put your feet up. So there's that. Anyway. All right. Listen, I'm in number one of the triple dipper. Supreme Logic, I'm calling this section. Supreme Logic. It's supreme. It came from the Supremes, and it's logical. And I'll be honest with you, there are parts of it that are not being reported correctly, in my opinion, and that's not just me saying I know things that no one else knows. I'm just saying that there are some folks that are choosing to report things a certain way because it fits their, you know, so-called unbiased news-providing agenda. Here's the deal. Two new rulings came out of the U.S. Supreme Court yesterday, and they're big. I mean, this has been the last 2 weeks have been an amazing amount of huge decisions. Things come down from the Supreme Court all the time that are big. If it gets up there, it's going to be bigger than usual. Sometimes they get handed down as like, whatever. No, doesn't affect me. It just affected that case. Sometimes, though, they come down and they change the landscape of public policy. They changed the legal fabric of the nation, like Roe v. Wade, like Second Amendment gun rights. Well, the two that came down yesterday are pretty freaking big. Let me just go ahead and tell you. The first one, West Virginia versus the EPA. The second one, Texas versus Biden. The West Virginia versus EPA, and I'll talk about them both in a minute and why they're important, but West Virginia versus EPA, people are talking about that as if what it really dealt with was just whether or not we can see the EPA put draconian regulatory measures in place that regulate things on behalf of the climate. Nope, it's bigger than that. I'll tell you why in a second. Texas versus Biden, people are saying, well, it lets the Remain in Mexico policy. It was a win for Biden. He's allowed to do away with the Trump policy of Remain in Mexico and just flood the border with more people. Well, yes, it does sort of do that. But yet there's more to it. And there's more to it in a way that liberals are not willing to admit right now. So here's the bottom line. The first one, West Virginia versus EPA. This thing started a number of years ago because of the Clean Air Act passed during the Obama administration. And West Virginia had to file suit because it was having what they called a catastrophic effect on the ability of the coal industry and others to move forward. It was a hyper-regulatory act. And what it also did was it put, with minimal instructions, ultimate authority into an unelected body, the EPA. And so the Environmental Protection Agency, those are a bunch of bureaucrats. They were not elected to office. They don't have the power of Congress. And yet what this case determined was that literally the EPA, without specific mandates from Congress, cannot do the things that it was doing. Now, on the one hand, at face value, that's what people like Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez are seeing as the face value. They see, well, she called it herself. She used the word catastrophic, actually. She said, catastrophic. A filibuster carve-out is not enough. We need to reform or do away with the whole thing for the sake of the planet. In other words, she jumped straight to the issue of environmental protection. Oh, no, the Clean Air Act. Oh, my Green New Deal. Oh, woe is me. Sky is falling. But it was bigger than that. Because you see, story I'm looking at here from Fox News dated yesterday afternoon literally points out that, yes, capping carbon dioxide emissions at a level that will force a nationwide transition away from the use of coal to generate electricity may be a sensible solution to the crisis of the day, but it is not plausible. Here's the kicker. The court said it is not plausible that Congress gave the EPA the authority to adopt on its own such a regulatory scheme. A decision of such magnitude and consequences rests with the Congress itself, or an agency acting pursuant to a clear delegation from that representative body. Congress, only Congress can do some of the things that the EPA, the unelected bureaucrats, were trying to do. So what does this mean? I mean, so Phil, what's the big deal? The big deal is that case goes way beyond the EPA. Let me jump over to a story I've got. Where'd it go here? National Review. I had one from The Federalist. And I think I'll go with National Review. National Review, story dated yesterday. Headline on the National Review. The court tells the EPA that it needs Congress if it wants to pass carbon emission laws. But the headline of it is, Chief Justice Roberts reins in the pen and the phone EPA. You remember this? Remember when Obama couldn't get anything done through a polarized Congress? He said, that's fine. I'll start working with my pen and my phone. Meaning he was going to put out executive orders and pick up the phone and call people and tell them what to do. As if he was suddenly the sole ranking authority in a three-party or three-tripartite government. Well, we have three separate but co-equal branches of government. The executive does certainly have certain privileges and opportunities and authorities. It does not have all of them. The legislature enacts the law, Congress. The executive enforces the law and implements it. That's the executive. And yet Obama was saying his pen and phone strategy was how he was going to basically write laws that he couldn't get through Congress. Well, the EPA case is a huge win, according to the National Review, Dan McLaughlin writing yesterday. He says the EPA is still a pretty big win for democracy and the separation of powers. It caps off a momentous term full of victories. and it applies what they call the major questions doctrine. Okay, I'm getting the weeds here. Legally speaking, this is going into what they call the major questions doctrine. It concludes that things like the clean power rule that the EPA was putting out was such a significant policy that the agency should not have been allowed to do it unless it had clear statutory authority from Congress. So what I'm saying is this, folks. This goes so far beyond this EPA case. What it's saying is that in the future, anytime something happens from a bureaucratic standpoint, we now have a legal precedent that says, under the major questions doctrine, we can look at that bureaucratic agency, that deep state pen and phone mentality, and we could say, on what authority do you stand? And unless they can produce something from Congress that says specifically here's what they're allowed to do, we can challenge it. That's a huge deal. Think about this last year under COVID, as the CDC decided, the CDC of all, the Centers for Disease Control decided that it was allowed to go ahead and say, oh, we can put a moratorium on evictions. If you don't pay the rent, the landlord can't kick you out. The CDC, where did they get that authority? Well, they didn't. The court already ruled that. Or how about OSHA? OSHA is going to enforce the vaccine mandates. OSHA is going to come around to your business, your private business, and tell you to start firing people. Because of what? Because you have what authority? On what authority do you stand for that? There was no congressional mandate. That was a rogue executive order from the executive branch. And that was struck down. What we're seeing now is it went one step further. In this EPA case, it pretty much finally says, hey, deep state, guess what? The separation of powers, the major questions doctrine, you can't just go rogue and create laws on your own. If they are of such weight that they're going to impact the economy and change the way we do things, then guess what? No is the answer. That's, I hope some of y'all are out there on your heels going, wow, because that's what this is. That means the Biden's executive order binge just got knocked down. That means somebody like an Obama who wants to come back in and be the king and say he has a pen in the phone, he can't do it. Same story off Fox Business, affirming the same thing. That the West Virginia argument was based on the major question doctrine, which says that even though federal agencies generally have broad rulemaking power, that when it comes to issues of major economic and political significance, those statutes need to have clear language to support the agency's action. And to overcome that skepticism, they report, this is what the court said, quote, to overcome that skepticism, the government must, under the major questions doctrine, point to clear and congressional authorization to regulate in such a manner. That, folks, is a win for liberty right there. That is a win for democracy. I hope you don't think that I'm just being dramatic. Oh, Phil, please, win for democracy. I'm just telling you, next time OSHA wants to enforce a vaccine mandate, just look them in the eye and say, upon what congressional authority do you stand? I guarantee you my friend Matt Clark over the Center for Law and Liberty is loving this ruling because it gives him plenty more to work with. This is not just one more bullet in the legal gun, folks. This is a cannon. It's a big deal. Here's that federalist story I was talking about. I'll just read you the headline. Supreme Court strikes a blow to the administrative state. Yes, it did. All right. That was one case. Now, let me jump over into what the other case was. The other case was equally important to the current position we find ourselves in, the southern border. But it didn't go our way, at least on face value. You remember the Trump administration's Remain in Mexico policy? If you're going to come here and start claiming asylum, which was the big workaround, all the migrant caravans were being told by the activist NGOs on the southern side of the border, hey, here's what you got to do. Just go and say, hey, I'm seeking asylum. I come from a place where it's scary, and I don't know what to do if I go back there. Okay, asylum. Fill out this paperwork. We'll see you in 2 years at your hearing. Really? What do I do since then? I don't know. Just wander America. Do what you want to do. Okay. And then, 13% of them show back up. Well, the Trump administration put in place something called Remain in Mexico. It's called the Migrant Protection Protocols. Most folks call it Remain in Mexico. What did the Trump or the Biden administration do when they came in? One of the very first executive orders when he took office was to rescind that policy, followed by a DHS memorandum by Secretary Alejandro Mayorkas that said that we will not enforce Remain in Mexico. When we get back from this break that we're about to take right now, I'll tell you what happened with the Supreme Court. But I'll also tell you, it's not exactly what's being reported right now on CNN. All right, folks. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio, solid conservative and just plain right, number one of the Triple Dipper, Supreme Logic. We'll be right back. News Talk 770 AM, 92.5 FM, WVNN, Phil Williams, Right Side Radio, solid and conservative and just plain right. Hey, coming up top of the hour, I got my friend, State Representative Connie Rowe, who is now a senior advisor to the Lieutenant Governor. We're going to talk with her about her experience as a law enforcement officer and in a segment we're going to call Back the Blue. So if you are a police officer yourself, if you have spent time in law enforcement, if you have family that does, you might want to hear that segment because we're going to speak pretty highly, if you will, and also supportively of the efforts they put together, especially in the wake of the shootings that have taken place here most recently. Hey, let me jump back, though, on number one of the Triple Dipper. So I'm in number one. We're calling it Supreme Logic. Talking about the cases that came out just in the last 24 hours, and they do, by the way, have a chance to pretty much change the legal landscape in some ways. I talked about the one a moment ago, which was known as West Virginia versus the EPA, which does, by the way, unhinge the green energy plans, you know, the Green New Deal, the Clean Air Act that has been, you know, driving our energy costs up, that every single one of the energy producers has had to expand their portfolio into more costly alternative energy sources, driving coal into the ground, no pun intended. But now that's changed. That's on its face, it's changed. The second thing it did, though, was it totally did away with the administrative state's ability to create law without the express written authorization of Congress. All right, that being said, there was another case. I talked about it briefly before the break. This particular case, which I believe was called Texas v. Biden. I could be wrong, but I think that's the case, Texas v. Biden. Anyway, the bottom line is this. State of Texas and joined by Missouri filed suit against the Biden administration because the Trump policy of remain in Mexico meant that if you showed up at the border and you were detained and you said, I'm here to seek asylum because I come from a scary place where they can't feed me or whatever the case may be, or I'm oppressed or I'm in some way, you know, traumatized, well, then you could seek asylum. But the Biden administration did away with Trump's policy. Trump's policy was saving us a huge amount of the influx we're seeing now by having them wait in Mexico to see whether or not they would be approved for asylum. The Biden administration is like, hey, come on in. What do you got? Where do you want to stay? You know where you're going? Figure it out. We'll give you a bus ride to some far-reaching small heartland town where no one expects you. Well, that's what's been happening. Well, that's because when Biden took office, the first thing he did was rescind by executive order the Remain in Mexico policy. Well, Missouri and Texas filed suit. Story here, believe it or not, I had to go. One of the best stories I could find was off of Must Read Alaska. Explain that to me. Because I knew there was a piece that was missing in the news reports. The news reports are like, Biden gets to do away with the Trump policy. I mean, I got the CNN. I got CNN and Fox going up on the big screens here in the new studio, and I'm looking right now, and I'm seeing CNN constantly running things like Trump policy, Trump-era policy, court rules in favor of Biden administration doing away with Trump-era policy. Well, guess what? It didn't quite go like that. Did it in a part? Yes. Did it entirely? No. because what the Supreme Court did was it remanded the case with instructions. Now, in legal parlance, what that basically means is they didn't just reverse the lower court. They didn't just overturn a prior precedent. They didn't just, you know, act sua sponte in terms of what the Supreme Court did. What they did instead was they said, hey, lower court, the one that we're dealing with here, here's some instructions. Go back and try the case again under these instructions. So that's what's happening. Now, in the meantime, Biden administration can pursue their own policy. And what will have to happen now, according to Must Read Alaska, dated yesterday, says Supreme Court remands, keyword remands, remain in Mexico to the lower court. It means the case is not over. In fact, it even points out, and this is true, it points out that literally the case will now be tried again under the understanding that they have to determine at the lower court whether or not the Biden administration acted in what's called an arbitrary and capricious manner. If they can prove that they acted in an arbitrary and capricious manner, then we may still yet see Remain in Mexico put back in place. However, no matter what happens, the matter can be appealed again. So, we got to wait and see. In the meantime, though, the borders are wide open. Yeah, and here's the thing, too. Story off of USA Today, dated today. Biden can move to end Remain in Mexico. Yes, he can. He can move to end Remain in Mexico. Lawmakers and advocates want the same for Title 42. There are only two policies besides building the wall. There's only two policies that could really make a big difference right now. One of them is the Remain in Mexico policy. The other one is Title 42, and that's the one that gives the Customs and Border Patrol the ability to turn people away if they come from what is a known hotspot for COVID. Well, at the same time, the Biden administration is still getting people out of our military for not getting a COVID vaccination and trying to fight the idea that we should have to wear a mask on an airplane. They don't think it's necessary on the border anymore. So it's a pandemic somewhere, but not elsewhere. The border is not hot, but the airplanes are. The border is not a pandemic situation, but our military is. Go figure. Nonetheless, what's happening is this. Title 42, a great tool for the Customs and Border Patrol. Some advocates are saying that they believe that yesterday's ruling on Remain in Mexico gives the Biden administration the authority now to end Title 42. Well, I agree with Dale Jackson. Did I say that out loud, Copper? I did, didn't I?
You did, on record.
I just did. And he's not even here. I just went ahead and just... Anyway, I agree with Dale Jackson, who said yesterday he believes this is a huge mistake on the part of the Biden administration, because if they go ahead and choose to do this, I mean, like basically the dog caught the bumper here. They now have the ability to do away with potentially Title 42 and certainly Remain in Mexico for the time being. They have the ability to do that. And what's going to wind up happening is one story I've got here says that literally Fox News reporting as of yesterday afternoon that estimates are at the end of these two policies, we could see 6 million illegal aliens flooding into the border before Biden's first term is up. And I think it's going to drive the midterms. So what Dale was saying yesterday, and I agree with this, you know what? If Biden does this, it's going to do nothing but inflame voters come the midterms. I agree. All right, folks, that's enough of that. Supreme logic, number one, two big cases that are changing the lay of our political and legal land. Coming up next, my good friend Connie Rowe is going to be with us talking about law enforcement. Back to blue. That's the next segment. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio. Y'all stay tuned. We'll be right back.